This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. It's one of Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky's most iconic landmarks, the historic Elano Bridge, now known officially as the Newport South Bank Bridge, though more popularly known as the Purple People Bridge. The name is a reference to the old novelty song Purple People Eater and a nod to its showy color. But that color has faded in recent years, and the historic span's condition has also worsened. So what's to be done? Let's discuss with South Bank Partners President Jack Moreland. He's also head of the Newport South Bank Bridge Company, which owns that bridge. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you, Michael, and welcome and congratulations on your new assignment.
I appreciate that very much, Jack. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter, where we will find your comments and your tweets. So, Jack, tell us first, because we all know what and where the Purple People Bridge is, but what is the situation with the bridge?
The bridge was painted in the year about 2003, and the lifetime of a paint job of that nature is about 10 years, so we're probably 6 or 7 years past the original paint date that we should have been raising money to do that. They have been raising some money, but the truth of the matter, Michael, is that events in and of themselves will not pay enough to paint the bridge. We're going to have some corporate donations or some other donations.
And you're committed to keeping it purple, of course.
We think that purple is the part of the culture of Cincinnati. It's part of the fabric. And so I would be very surprised if we change. Now, if some corporate citizen came in with a red, white, and blue logo and wanted to talk seriously about painting the bridge, well, we might talk to them. But I think the bridge will stay purple.
When this was first announced a couple weeks back, there were a lot of comments on social media, people wanting to know why the government doesn't pay for it. But this isn't a publicly owned span. So tell us about that organizational or ownership structure.
Okay. The bridge, there's actually two bridges, Michael. It's the old railroad bridge, which became eventually part of the Chessie system, CSX system. And that also includes the small walkway in between the two major spans. And then on the other side, we have a 19-foot-wide automobile section that was that belonged to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. In about 2003, the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet gave that section to the city of Newport. The new city of Newport kept that for a period of time. And then in the year 2009, CSX gave the other section to South Bank. And so that was where the Newport South Bank Bridge Company was formed. It has 9 members, 4 of which are appointed from the city of Newport, 4 from the South Bank Partners, and 1 common combination appointment.
So you're the head of South Bank Partners and the Newport South Bank Bridge Company.
Chairman of the board.
Okay. So what is the relationship between those two entities?
Well, as I said, we owned the section that belonged to the railroad company. That was actually given to South Bank.
To the South Bank Partners?
Yes.
Okay.
That was given to South Bank Partners. And the other section was given to the city of Newport. Well, neither one had the wherewithal to maintain the bridge. So that's how the Newport South Bank Bridge Company was formed.
Okay, so then you formed an organization. How is that organization funded?
It's funded through events that we have on the bridge. It's funded through donations, and that's where our GoFundMe page has come into play. And then we have things like weddings on the bridge, et cetera, those types of things, the party on the purple on Wednesday nights. So all of it goes together to raise money to do things for the bridge, some of which is laying aside some money to do painting with, but other parts of that get used for maintenance, just touch-up painting and things of that nature.
So the cost to repaint this bridge is $1 million?
That is correct.
Why so much?
Well, it's a major span. It's 2,800 feet long, and all the members that have to be painted in the process, and it just is a major undertaking. It will take about 3 months to paint if we started today.
And then there are other needs as well that would be tacked onto that price tag. So in total, what do you anticipate? If you were able to have a check written to you, what amount would you have to ask for in order to paint it and then to deal with all the other issues?
Well, as part of our painting process, we'll have to make sure that we comply with EPA regulations and things of that nature. So we'll have to pay a substantial amount of money to a consultant to make sure we follow the EPA regulations religiously, and we will do that. So that gets added on to the $1 million. And then we have ambitions of doing LED lighting on the bridge, which we think will make the bridge an icon for the more of an icon for the city of Cincinnati and the city of Newport. So that we don't know exactly what that amount of money will be, but it could be upwards of $2 million more. So $3 million. If you wanted to write me a check today for $3 million, I could probably do a lot of damage with that.
I know you could. So how are you raising that kind of money?
Well, we are in conversation with some corporate donors. We talk to them all the time, and I'm not at liberty to share any of that information with you because we don't have any kind of deal going at this point in time. But it's going to take something like that in order to do the process. You just can't make enough money by having weddings on the bridge to raise $1 million.
Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got Dick on the line. Hey, Dick, what's your comment or question? Do we have Dick?
This is David.
I'm sorry, they must have put your name in wrong, but hey, David, how are you? I apologize for that.
I've never gone by Dick, but if I'm up, I'm ready. So I'm thinking outside of the box here, or maybe even off the side of the bridge, but I would like to point out how iconic the bridge is in Florence, Italy, which has shops lining on either side of the bridge. And it is one of the first places that people go in Florence, Italy. And I wonder if it might be feasible to set up small shops on either side of that bridge and turn it really into a kind of a pedestrian shopping center.
Great question, David. We'll let Jack address that. And I want to add on to that question because there were talks about something ambitious like that not too long ago. About 7 years ago, it was State Representative Dennis Keene, the Democrat from Wilder, who represents Newport and also consults for South Bank. He announced that the state awarded $650,000 to fund an engineering study to determine whether the bridge could accommodate a hotel. So we have David asking about shops. There was exploration of putting a hotel on this bridge. What happened with that?
Well, the hotel deal was going to be too expensive. We were talking about doing about 60 rooms at the cost of roughly $60 million.
Oh, wow.
So that really made that somewhat prohibitive. And then that had to do with all the logistics of getting people on the bridge and off the bridge and sewage and things of that nature, both on and off the bridge. And so that just wasn't going to happen. Although the engineering study was completed, and I can tell you today, Michael, that bridge will be there in 100 years, long after you and I are probably gone, and that it is very, very structurally sound as we speak. So we have the engineering study that was done in 2014 that you described that will testify to that, and that includes the underwater study of the pillars.
So though the hotel may have been a cost prohibitive project for your organization, a hotel could theoretically be placed upon it?
A hotel could be. There was nothing in the engineering study that would have prohibited us from doing the hotel.
So to David's question, was there any exploration of smaller scale developments on it?
There have been multiple conversations about that kind of thing. If you visualize the bridge, you'll know that there is the automobile section that we use for our different events, but there's a whole nother section, the railroad section, that actually doesn't have a floor in it now. And in the best case scenario, I could see shops, I could see bars, I could see a lot of different activities going on that side of the bridge that really wouldn't take away from anything that we're doing on the automobile side of the bridge. So that certainly is a possibility, but it takes a developer that has some insight and some ambition to do that kind of thing.
So you have Representative Keene working closely with you. I know that he loves showing up with big checks when it's time to hand out state money to the governments that he represents. Has there been any word from state legislators about any help that can be offered?
Well, state legislators will talk to you about job creation. And until we could put a handle on exactly how many jobs would be created with something like that, or what the payrolls would be from something like that, it's going to be very difficult to get a grant to do something of that nature.
So the Purple People Bridge is rather unique, not just for its color and its name, but because it's the only Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky bridge that's just for pedestrians and cyclists, or however you want to get across without using a car. How significant is that?
Well, not many cities have a dedicated pedestrian bridge. Just recently, the city of Louisville has transformed a new bridge, I should say, called the Big Six Bridge, which is an old railroad bridge. But it's a lot farther removed from the center of the city than the Purple People Bridge is. So I can say to you that the Purple People Bridge, the way it's configured right now, is very convenient and is unlike anything that other cities have. If we didn't have a pedestrian bridge today, our conversation would be raising money to build a pedestrian bridge.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking now about the effort to refurbish and repaint the Purple People Bridge between Newport and Cincinnati. South Bank Partners President Jack Moreland is with us. He's also chairman of the Newport South Bank Bridge Company, which operates it. Join us at 513-419-7100. Email talk at WVXU.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Ron on the line. You have a question or comment, Ron?
Yeah, I was surprised to hear that they even considered a hotel. It just seems way too expensive for modifications. But the pedestrian, the fact that it is already set up for pedestrian walkway, I'm not sure if it's bike friendly. But I see the feasibility of having a community type of bridge, you know, for both sides, where you know. Small shops, or even a section where a weekend flea market, or days where vegetables and stuff can be, or people can vend their own items, would be a lot more feasible. It's something that'd be, you know, not so expensive. I mean, something for the community. I think that would be, and then use the hotel study as far as, I'm sure they did loading capacities and things like that, so they already use the engineering aspects of what was done, pre-done, and then go off of that onto a permanent kind of booth setup where people can rent and sell their wares, you know, and also, you know, crafts, food, and that kind of thing.
Cool. Well, I think that's a suggestion that we'll let Jack address. Ron, we appreciate you listening and for your phone call as well. So, Jack, it sounds like Ron's talking about more open-air type events. You do produce a lot of events on here, whether it be for the fireworks or the summer concert series. Is there a resource deficit that prohibits you from being able to do more?
Well, we wouldn't be the ones who would manage that activity. We would certainly be willing to talk to developers who would want to develop that and then use that space for that kind of a function. We've had considerable conversations of those kinds of things, and certainly we would be amenable to doing that, but it would not be something that the bridge company would do by itself. It would take a developer to come in and do all the necessary work that they would be experienced in doing.
Okay, looks like we may have another suggestion on the line from Rod. Rod, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, what do you have for us?
It just seems like it would be pretty feasible that in the meantime, until they figure something else out, perhaps they could have a weekend food truck vending on the bridge.
Cool. Rod, we'll let Jack address that as well. Food trucks.
We do have a young fella who this past year had a hot dog cart on the bridge. And was very successful. He's coming back this year, and it was one of those things that we wanted to try to see if it would work. We also have food trucks when we have our party on the Purple. There's usually at least one food truck on each end of the bridge, and that's something, a point that I want to make that one of your callers made before, too. This bridge is an asset to both sides of the river. We want to make sure that the Cincinnati has the same kind of buy-in for the bridge that that the Northern Kentucky side has, because it is an asset. We have measurements on how many people have used the bridge, and almost exactly 50% come from the north side of the river south as does come from the south side of the river north.
Well, let's talk just briefly about the relationship between Cincinnati and Newport, because it's complicated. But on that very bridge, on the Purple People Bridge, the official marker that says this is where the border is, it took a federal court decision to determine this after a long drawn out battle, but it's marked right there on the Purple People Bridge.
We did that last year because if you think about it, there are no borderline markers between Kentucky and Ohio anywhere along the line because it's all in the Ohio River. So if you want to straddle the Ohio-Kentucky state line, you're almost going to have to do it on the Purple People Bridge.
A great selfie opportunity. So Tri-State Trails ranks this bridge, the Purple People Bridge, as the number one attraction in this region for trail use. It calculated that nearly 1,900 miles are traveled on it daily, nearly 250,000 miles yearly, and the bridge has seemingly capitalized on this because there are now amenities for walkers and cyclists. Elizabeth Healthcare has been involved. Are there future plans or hopes to increase those amenities when people are walking or riding along it?
We've done some of that already. You mentioned the state line marker, which in and of itself is not a big deal, but it collectively with other things, we've got music on the bridge that we like to entertain folks as they stroll along, so to speak. We've got a Love Locks section on the bridge. I'm not sure how many of your listeners are familiar with Love Locks, but if you have undying love for someone, you go down to the bridge, you put your lock on, and you throw the key into the river, so that means you have undying love. Well, those locks were appearing all over the bridge, and so we consolidated that into one section. And the section is now filling up, and when that section gets filled, we'll add another section. So we don't mind having the locks on the bridge, and they're kind of fun to read and all the different heartfelt things that each one says about the other. But in any case, we wanted to control how that was done. So these are just small things, but together they amount to kind of an activity.
So we're emphasizing sort of the pedestrian access to this. And what we see on the Cincinnati Riverfront now is this really large redevelopment that's created all kinds of access for people to enjoy this very natural amenity. So you have Smale Park and all the trails that encompasses. On the Kentucky side, we have what is called Riverfront Commons. It hasn't completely come to fruition yet, but there are little pieces of it in various parts of the cities that South Bank serves, which are Ludlow and Covington and then Newport, Bellevue, Dayton, and Fort Thomas. So tell everyone in our final few minutes here what Riverfront Commons is in case they've never heard of it.
Riverfront Commons is an 11.5-mile walking and biking trail that will start at the Fort Thomas at the Combs Hale Bridge, which is at the Fort Thomas City line.
That's on 275.
That is correct. And it goes all the way along the river till the Ludlow-Bromley City line, an 11.5-mile area. And South Bank has been doing a lot of grant writing over the last few years, and I can tell you that there will be a construction project of the trail in 5 of the 6 cities that South Bank serves this summer. So we're doing it section at a time. We write grants for TA, which is Transportation Alternatives, which is monies that come through the Federal Transportation Act. And we've been very successful. I think we've written about $23 million worth of grants, funded grants, over the last few years. And it takes a period of time for those to come to fruition. But this summer, we'll have at least 5 of our 6 cities with construction projects.
So how much of it will be contiguous, though? Because the cities seem to get excited when their section opens. You got a piece in Covington, Ludlow's looking at it, Bellevue's starting to take some action, Dayton has some stuff going on, Newport has a pretty nice spot as well. But you can't technically take Riverfront Commons between those cities
yet. That is correct. And part of the reason for that is the instability of the riverfront. We have a lot of areas along the river where we have unstable conditions. So we've been working with the Army Corps of Engineers to do ecosystem restoration and stability of the riverfront. And those are the areas that we'll be looking to fill in the gaps with. The sections that we have in each one of our cities will go a piece, and we will start to connect the dots with the feasibility study with the monies from the Army Corps of Engineers once that gets accomplished.
So how far off do you think we are from walking or riding a bike from the Combs Hill Bridge to the Ludlow-Bromley Yacht Club?
Well, there probably will be temporary routes that we'll have to use, but I don't think it'll be real long before you'll be able to get on a trail in Ludlow, and you may not stay absolutely close to the river for the entire trip, but I think you'll be able to go at least to the city of Bellevue and maybe even farther.
Jack, you've had a lot of jobs of importance in Northern Kentucky. You were superintendent at Dayton Independent. You were superintendent at Covington Independent. You were interim president at Northern Kentucky University, and now you lead South Bank Partners. And in this area, you're watching the revitalization of the urban core. So being here that long and working that closely with those riverfront communities, what do you just think in general about this renaissance, as it's been called?
Michael, I think this is the most exciting time that I have seen in the 45 years that I've been in public life in Northern Kentucky.
Yeah, that accent's from Jackson. You're from Jackson, Kentucky?
Bracken County.
Bracken County.
So you can remember a time, or maybe not, when the folks wanted to get away from the urban core. They wanted to leave the city areas. But that whole concept has changed now. We see apartments going up. We're going to, before long, we'll see the Ovation Project, which is a $1 billion project, start. We're excited about that. We see new apartments and condominiums and things of that nature going up every day. Businesses are moving to the urban core because they want to be part of the scene that's in the urban core now. So it's the most exciting time that I can recall.
And, you know, of all those jobs you've had, I think the coolest has to be that you are, in fact, the guy who controls when the world peace bell rings.
Absolutely. And if you come over, I'll sure ring it for you.
That'd be exciting. Jack Moreland from South Bank Partners, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Archives of our show can be found online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.